If I had more money, my problems wouldn't be problems and I could serve God more effectively. You see how crazy that sounded? Hi everyone, welcome back to the 12F podcast. My name is Greg, your host. If you're new to this podcast, we're all about discussing complex cultural, political, even theological based subjects, making them more digestible to the common person, all from a conservative and Christian lens. And I do hope that resonates with you. So I've been noticing that a lot of rich and famous people, they live such interesting, glamorous lives, right? But they're people that I would never want to be anything like. Quite literally. You ever watch the pre-show for the Met Gala or the Grammys, and you see the celebs on the red carpet? Do you ever see their eyes? Do you notice that they always look kind of dead? Yeah, that's because, and this is just my theory, that's because they're living for things. You have to look at what being a celebrity is. When you're a celebrity, you can get into any restaurant. You can get into any party. You can get into any event with no problem, right? These people also have access to wads and wads of money, endless amounts of money, if they manage it well, of course. These people, your favorite artists, your favorite actors or actresses, they are symbols of status. They have the fancy cars, they have, the fancy watches, clothes, anything that you want, they have. And I just have this idea that those dead eyes are a constant reminder that the stuff that they're collecting is never enough. I'm speaking on an issue like this specifically because I know what it's like to want things. I've had things. I've desired things and I've had things that, didn't bring me any sort of peace. These celebrities, they don't know what else to buy. They've had every single thing under the sun that you could imagine. They've had it offered to them or they've had it. There's nothing that they cannot buy. There's no bag, there's no car, there's no clothes, there's nothing that they can't buy. Don't aspire to be these people. Don't aspire to be your favorite celebrity. Even that is crazy to me, how anyone could have a favorite celebrity. Why do you idolize these people? Why do we as people idolize other people? People who don't even know your name. Even if you, were to meet them one day, right? And you were to ask them 5 years from now, "Hey, what was it like meeting Tiffany?" They're like, "Who's that?" "Oh, Tiffany Hudson." "I'm not sure I'm familiar with the Tiffany Hudson." You see what I'm saying? They won't remember you, but they're a demographic of people who are so fixated on being known by or just keeping up with these celebrities. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Particularly for the Christian, I think. Why? Because I do know Christians who idolize people. I mean, everyone idolizes something. Whether you're idolizing God or whether you're idolizing a thing that you want so badly, or a person, another person, everyone idolizes and worships something. You have to. That's how we're made. That's how we're designed. We're designed to worship something, whether it be a job that you're trying to get, or this career, whatever it is, you're striving to get something. I just hope that it's not another person other than God, or another thing other than God's presence, right? And if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this podcast, or you're listening to this podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, don't idolize people or things. I have proof that celebrities aren't happy. Take a look at this clip.
When people say, "Oh, I want to be like you, I want to be an actor, I want to look like you," the question I always ask them is why? Like, really, why? And people, and especially America, this idea of fame, that to be famous means that you're successful, that you're happy.
When How I Met Your Mother first went on the air, I ran into an actress that I knew, and she said, "Are you just like so happy all the time?" And I remember thinking, does she really think that when CBS picked up the show, it left me with an inability to feel anything other than unbridled joy? But the joke was on me because I kind of thought it would.
Why am I unhappy? Okay, so Stephanie Gaga hybrid person. Why are you unhappy?
I was a millionaire. I had a beautiful women in my life. I had cars, a house, an incredible, a solid gold career, and a future. And yet, on a daily basis, I wanted to commit suicide.
When those things came, the happiness wasn't there, and I realized why that was. There was such an attempt to achieve these things and to keep going that you lose sight of the people and the blessings that you have around you.
And when you have all this stuff, doesn't mean you're happy.
A lot of people think getting famous will save you, that it will grant you the life you feel you're owed and spare you certain indignities. I was pretty bummed to realize that rather than lessening or eliminating my insecurities and least attractive qualities, it basically poured fertilizer on them.
Has your happiness risen at the same amount as your bank account?
No. That's the thing. They don't equate, or they're not tied to each other.
Wow.
I mean, it allows you freedom and allows you to go places where you can smile and look at the sunset and things like that. That's what you choose to do and you enjoy to do.
Right.
You see, having money is a tool. Money is a tool. It's nothing else but that. Like I said before, these people have anything and everything money can buy, and they have it, and they're still not happy. So why are you trying to get what they have? Why are you trying to get what they have when they're not even happy having those things? How does that make sense? Are you okay? Are we okay? Like, are we good idolizing these people and what they have when they have the thing? They are not even happy. That doesn't even make any sense. That's the definition of insanity. The best way I know how to describe this, you know, terrible situation is using the new car analogy, which is when a rich man goes to buy a new car, he goes to buy it knowing that's his dream car. And then when he gets his dream car and he drives it off the lot, he feels ecstatic. He feels like he has a new high, right? He's just reached this pinnacle in which, you know, of happiness that he's finally attained, that he's always wanted to, you know, be at. And when he gets that new car, after a week, he's kind of like, you know, having this new car is great, but you know what? I kind of want a new car. But it doesn't stop there. Because he desires that new car, he goes out and gets a new car. And then the same thing happens over and over again. It's a never-ending cycle of buying and attaining and achieving new things and not feeling any sense of happiness from it. Because at the end of the day, nothing in this world is going to fulfill that void that you have inside of you besides God. There's just nothing you can do. There's nothing that you can get. There's nothing that you can achieve to fill that yourself. Because that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to fill it yourself, and you can't do it. It's literally impossible. There are people who die not knowing the happiness that God brings and can bring. Isn't that so unfortunate? Isn't that so crazy that is a reality that we live in, that there are people who actually die without knowing that? That's crazy to me. But it's also crazy to me that people think that they can actually do it, that they believe themselves to be God, that they can fulfill it themselves. You know, in his patience is saying, no, I'm the only one that can do that. Come to me. You can get that from me. Even Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. He said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. Not you. If he would have It would have been a totally different story if Jesus was preaching, you can become the way too. You can become that way. You can become the truth, the life, and the way. As long as you have that truth within you, you can become truth and you can find your truth. Bro, listen, Jesus did not preach that. Jesus did not say that. He did not say that. He did not say that. So it's so weird. And it's so weird that people actually preach that. They're like, oh, Jesus, you know, he reached higher consciousness and he was trying to say, what? Bro, no, stop. That's New Age. Okay, relax. Relax. No, that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught, I am the truth, the life, and the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's also a point where, you know, Pontius Pilate, you know, asked Jesus, who are you? Are you a king? He even asked Jesus at one point, you know, what is truth? And Jesus just stares at him. Just stares at him. Letting Pontius Pilate soak in the reality of his situation of, you want to know what truth is? You're looking at him. You're looking at him. I am the truth, the life, and the way. So you ask me what truth is. You're looking at him. You're looking at the truth. You're looking at the word of God revealed in the flesh. That is what Jesus is. That is what Jesus taught. He didn't teach higher consciousness, whatever that even means. What does that even mean to people these days? You know, they're teaching this new age spiritualism that leads to nothing. Because at the end of the day, that just means that you are God. Once again, you are God, and that you can figure it out on your own. You are the higher, quote unquote, consciousness, the universe, the whatever, you know, the, I think sometimes it's linked to like the Anunnaki. If you guys are familiar with the, with that whole demonic situation, because that's what it is. It's doctrines of demons. They're demons. Cat Williams kind of went into that on another podcast. I think it was it was Shannon Sharp's podcast. I don't really remember what exactly he was saying, but I think he mentioned it. Yeah, stay far away from New Age and this whole Anunnaki situation and this whole higher consciousness situation. It's no good. It's doctrines of demons. Stay far away from it. But I will say this. We can only know the truth if we read it. And that is revealed in the Gospels. That is revealed in the Bible. That is revealed in God's Word. Read that. You want truth. Read that. Understand that. Grasp that. But getting back on track here with, you know, the whole money thing, because that's what the topic is. Collecting all of this stuff, because that's what you're doing. You're collecting it. It's borrowed. It's not yours. You're just using it for now. It makes me wonder what America's landfills look like. Kind of a random thing for me to say, but I'll explain. A large portion of landfills are filled with clothes, toys. You would think that food, right? Yeah, obviously. But a large part of that, a large percentage of, you know, the landfill is filled with things that are not food. They're filled with products, clothes, things that people used to own. Things that people used to own at one point. What does that tell you? It tells me that people are not satisfied. When people get a new thing, they'll just throw the other thing away. They'll just get rid of it. Don't need that anymore. Have this new one now. People throw the things away that they worked so hard to get. Why? Because things don't satisfy you. It doesn't work. You think it does? Try it. Picture the very thing that you want most in this life and try to get it. And then when you do get it, ask yourself, okay, what do I want next? I bet you'll find something else that you want. Because guess what? That thing that you just got, that's old now. And now I want something else. Now I need something else to occupy my time. Now I'm thirsty. Now I'm hungry. Now I want something. Now I need something else. That is how it works. That's how our mind works. We're constantly looking for the new thing, for the next thing. So my thing used to be money. I used to strive towards money. I used to, you know, do anything I can to get it. And one thing that I didn't realize was the more I was chasing that thing, the more I was chasing money, the more it was running away from me. But I also thought that money, you know, would make me a cheerful giver. I don't know why I thought that, because now I think of it more like, how do you know that? Like, how do you know that having money is going to make you more of a giver? How do you know that? Who told you that? I think everybody has the same thinking as far as when I get money, when if I were to win the lottery, if I were to have $1 billion, I would give. I'd be the one. Of course you think so. Of course you do. But would you? Actually, though, like, would you? Would you actually give? Probably not. Do you see any other billionaire giving away their money? You're no different than them. You're still a person. You're not different. You're not other. You're not an anomaly. You're not different. You are a human being. You will follow the same devices that anybody else would. You would follow your the same selfishness that the next person does. You're not different. No, but I'm the anomaly. I would give. No, you wouldn't. And if you would, how much? How much? If I had $1 billion, I'd give $1 million. Okay. Cool. Okay, and if you had that $1 billion, you would just be like anybody else, like any other billionaire. You wouldn't give. You think you would because you mean well, but you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Solomon is a prime example of what it means to come to the realization that things don't matter, that things won't make you happy. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, 17 through 22 says, "So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity, a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be a master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave up my heart to despair and all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? One day, all of the things that you worked so hard to achieve and to collect is going to be owned by someone who didn't even work for it." But you know what's also interesting is when people run out of things to buy, guess what they try to buy next? People. Don't believe that? Take a look at this clip.
Get on all fours. Open your mouths and stick out your tongues. You're both dogs. Two dogs. Meeting at the park for the first time. With no one around. Be serious!
Let's resume. Okay.
Yes. Intimately engage with each other.
Learn each other.
Mm-hmm. You're both just dogs.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely every time. It doesn't matter what your intentions are as far as this new money you've attained, because at the end of the day, when you do reach that echelon of wealth or money or power, whatever it is, you have a greater chance of being corrupted. Because what happens when you reach that version of absolute power, you will be corrupted, absolutely. Why? Why is that? Well, because you're a human being. And human beings, again, left to their own devices, will give in to their selfish desires. God is the exception. God is absolute power. He has absolute power because he is that. He is not corrupted, though, because God is love. God is good. He is the embodiment of what is good. So he cannot be corrupted. You and I are not God. You and I are human beings with flesh and bone and a futile mind. We can't even fathom having the same amount of power that God has. We wouldn't even know what to do with it. We don't even know what to do with the power that we hold here. But yet we think that we can become this powerful being with all this wealth and influence and think that we're not going to be corrupted by it. Who told you that? Who told you that? Your friend told you that? Your mom told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that you could do that? Who are you to think that you're so powerful that you're not going to be corrupted by the very thing that corrupts everybody else? Wealth corrupts everyone else. Why wouldn't it corrupt you? How are you so different? Again, with the anomaly situation, you're not one. You know what's so interesting is that when you see people on social media with all this money, particularly like let's use Instagram models. You see them in Dubai with bags and money and, you know, just different types of bags like Birkins and, you know, Chanel bags or whatever it is. A lot of people think that they just have money and they're able to buy these things. But what you don't know is that they're paid, you know, X amount of money to do disgusting and degrading acts for that money to go buy those bags. Did you know that? Look it up. Google it. YouTube it. I'm sure there's stories out there. Social media isn't real. It's an illusion. It's fake. It's not. It's just not real. Very rarely are you going to see people say, you know, post on their story like, down to my last $2, got to pay the light bill this week. Like, you're not going to see that. You're not. What you're going to see is, just spent 15 grand on, you know, this new car, new down payment on a car. Just bought a new house. Just bought the. You're not seeing the struggle of what people are going through. And you're also not seeing the struggle of what it takes to achieve and attain and acquire these luxury items. My father told me once and many times before, there's nothing free in America. And I've come to the realization that it's not just America, it's the world. There's nothing free in this world, nothing. And if it is free, it's probably not worth having. Unless, of course, you know, you're surrounded by people that love you or, you know, surrounded by, you know, actual friends. That's something different. But if you're talking about, you know, the world offering you something that is free, you might want to question what comes along attached to that. You might want to take a closer look at what that is, because the enemy will bring people to offer you free things. Free, quote unquote, things. A couple of quick things. Follow and engage with 12F wherever you get your podcasts. If you don't mind, please take an extra minute to give 12F a 5-star review, because it really helps the podcast grow. And if you want, you can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, and engage with me directly on there. Like the video if you haven't already, subscribe and hit the bell icon so you get notifications every time I upload. To make my final point, I want to play this video of Will Smith giving his take on the meaning of life. Just take a look.
There are a few people on Earth that I feel even comfortable asking this question because I don't know that they would have the answer, and you certainly will not. Mm-hmm. But you'll probably have something closer than I do. So as someone who has studied like a bunch of the religions, as someone who has done a ton of spiritual work, what does Will Smith believe is the meaning of life?
Well, that's a big one. So even the concept of the meaning of life is your mind trying to fathom the unfathomable. Just sit here for 30 seconds.
Right now?
Okay. Look at me. Now look at you while you're looking at me.
Oh, damn, he just did it. Whew. I'm trying to. It's not easy though.
You're right. That's where you will find the meaning of life. That's where you'll find it. So whatever that was, when you can make peace with that, that's the meaning of life.
Respectfully, I don't know if Will Smith even knows what he's talking about. Because it doesn't seem to me that Will Smith has found the meaning of life. In fact, the guy in which he's talking to, Speedy Mormon, I think he left that interview feeling more confused about the meaning of life than anything else he took from this interview. Because there's no way, like, if God wasn't real, Will Smith, you might be onto something. You might be onto something. But since he is real, what are you talking about? Respectfully, I mean, Will Smith, some of your movies are just amazing. I love them. But like, respectfully, what are you talking about? What does that mean? Because if you don't know what it means, how am I supposed to know what that means? Because I don't know what it means. So these are the people that people are looking up to. People are looking at these celebrities like they have the answers. They cannot help you. They can't help you. They actually can't though. Like they can't help you. Like, bro, they can't help you. Like, I just don't know what is looking at yourself and then you trying to look, what did he say? What is you trying to look at yourself going to do? How is that going to help you find the meaning of life? You're talking about the massive question, the big question, right? How is you looking at yourself, going to help you find that? Because I don't know. But I do know this. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A lot of people don't know what a yoke is. They think like, oh, like egg yolk, like what is, no. Think of it more like there's a situation in farming where you'll attach a yolk, a system onto two animals and it'll bind them. And they can't, one of them can't move without the other, because in whatever direction one animal turns in, the other has to go. Otherwise, they're going to be fighting to go in a separate direction. Otherwise, and it's going to be mad uncomfortable too. It's going to be crazy uncomfortable. Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So if you come to me, my yoke isn't going to be something that restricts you. And it's not going to be something that burdens you too much, because my burden is light. But make no mistake, you are yoked to Christ, because at the end of the day, you follow him. You don't follow the things of this world and the things the world has to offer, like things that don't fulfill you. You follow Jesus, and he gives you that perfect peace. He supplies it. Well, how do I follow all these rules, Greg? How do I, you know, how I don't, you know, it's just a bunch of rules. We shouldn't have to. Listen, once, don't look at the rules. Look at him. Look at him. Once you start following him and you start understanding him, all of those rules aren't things that you feel like you have to follow. They're just something that you want to follow. It changes your thinking. It's the sanctification that you hear all these Christians talk about. Your desires change. You no longer want to do the things that you wanted to do. You just want him. You just want God. And that becomes enough for you. Suddenly, all the things that you wanted, you don't even want it anymore. You don't even care about it anymore. You don't even, it's not even in the back of your mind. And if it is in the back of your mind, it's like practically not even there. That is what following Christ gives you. And I hope that you receive that. Well, that's all I have for today. If you're still watching and you're on YouTube, please drop I'm a 12F listener in the comment section. And also let me know what you guys think about money and how it's affected you and how it's changed your life in any way. You guys know I love to hear what you guys have to say in the comment section. So see you guys next Thursday at 3 p.m. Bye.